Today is Global Accessibility Awareness Day, but what does that mean? Is it all around IT? Is it for everyone when it comes to accessibility? Does it focus on disability? Well, to help answer some of those questions and to talk about some of his organisation's own solutions, we have with us from Neatbox, Gavin Neat. Thanks for joining us again, Gavin.
Always a pleasure, Alan.
We'll talk about, first of all, about Global Accessibility Awareness Day. Bit of a mouthful, but it probably has a big task ahead of it as well, because when you look at accessibility for people with disabilities, or sensory impairments, or otherwise, you know, it is a bit of an uphill climb still in the 21st century.
Sometimes I get a little bit, not down about days, but I think that every day is access and accessibility day. And yes, I totally understand why these days exist, but I think that the day after Global Accessibility Awareness Day, or Purple Tuesday, or Light Up Friday, or whatever things are called, the day after that is equally important, in fact, even more important. But I really applaud anybody that gets involved, and certainly big business and small business that gets involved in these days. But I think, as I say, it's the next day that's the most important, because that's the day that continues it on. And I think everybody must understand that that's what we want to happen.
Especially in the 21st century, you know, and if you are in business and you need customers, it's really important that your premises, if you have them, are physically accessible. But also, we're doing so much more online now, so whether it's websites or apps, they all have to be accessible as well.
Yeah, the physical world, or even the virtual world, as we see with web applications, it has to be accessible. Now, that's the same as designing a building. You make it accessible. But the thing that I know we've talked about plenty of times is that we can have the most accessible building in the entire world, but unless the people you meet when you go in the building understand how they should interact with you, then it's not an accessible experience. Now, one of the things that I think that we all make a mistake of in our particular silos, and visual impairment is the same as hearing impairment, is the same as wheelchair users, is the same as autism, is that we expect people to know about our particular condition. Not as if it's the most important, but to us, obviously, it is the most important. But when you consider how much information that person we're meeting has to have as knowledge in their head, if we try and put that into the context of how much they have to do and how much they have to learn, it's actually fairly impossible. We don't know enough about other people's conditions and needs. So how do we expect somebody who's 19-year-old working in a shop or behind a counter or in receptionist, whatever it might be, how do we expect them to know everything? So I think we have to find a way that gets the information in their hands.
From your point of view, you have a background in guide dogs. You trained people and dogs to work together to improve independent mobility and so on. Then you obviously looked at the tech side of things and thought, I can do more.
It's a bit like looking through an open door from a distance. You only get so much of a picture on the other of what's actually happening on the other side of the door. And when I was working for guide dogs, that's what I was looking through. When I was looking through the door, I was seeing guide dog owners and maybe long cane users and occasionally people who had other conditions and disabilities or challenges at the same time. But when I stepped through the door and I looked to the left and the right, I realized there's a whole world of people that need help there. And it just opened my mind and my awareness of how little I knew before I stepped through the door. And yeah, you can be a little bit fearful when you suddenly realize you just don't know everything and you can't know everything. But technology is that amazing bridge to actually finding out more. It doesn't ever take the place of human to human interaction. And in fact, technology needs to help human interaction. And that's everything that we do at Neatbox.
Smart technology now means that you don't particularly have to reinvent the wheel to create a solution. If the items which can create that solution are there, you bring them together and you can make a world of difference. I mean, we've talked a lot about the Welcome app, but you know, tell us about that. And for people who don't know about Welcome, how does it work?
Yeah, well, just going back to your initial premise there, is that people think that, when technologists would have us believe, that all of the solutions are in the future. But if we look at the technology that we have now, and everybody's heard of that story about the computing power on the spacecraft that landed on the moon was less than, well, a lot less than we have on our mobile phones. But if we start looking at what we've got now, and indeed yesterday, as a solution that's in our hand, we can actually solve the problems that exist now, real problems. And that's the thing that I wanted to do with Welcome, which was the understanding that the person who works in the shop doesn't know how to interact with every person who's going to come through the door or have an understanding of their needs. And something so simple is, if you're talking to somebody who's hearing impaired, who uses maybe lip reading, making sure there isn't a light source behind you so that they can see their lips. It's so simple. But if you don't, if you've only been taught that 2 months before or 2 years before, it might not be the first thing you think about. And when it comes to hidden disability, like a hearing impairment, you aren't necessarily going to know that until the person starts talking to you and you're not going to position yourself correctly. So everything that we did, Alan, and I know there's lots of information here, was how do we use technology to train or raise the awareness of the person in the shop? And we basically geofence buildings, and as a person walks towards a geofence, the person inside the building gets a message and it says, Gavin's going to walk through the door. Gavin wants you to know that he would like you to know more about autism, and here's some very basic information about autism or ataxia or epilepsy or dyslexia or diabetes or visual impairment or M&D or whatever it might be. And what we do is, by using that geofencing or location awareness of your phone, we train the person before you walk through the door.
So if someone wanted to go to the supermarket, the app allows the individual to say, right, big high street supermarket, I'm coming to see you. Here's the assistance that I need. And here's why I'm coming, because I understand that, you know, you can't know everything about everyone. So you take that lack of knowledge out of the equation.
Yeah, that's the whole premise behind it. But we don't have to say when, as long as we give a window. So if we say tomorrow between 12 and 5, I'm planning on visiting a particular venue or shop, because it's geofenced, because the location services on the phone indicate when you're actually 500 meters away, we don't have to give a specific time. So we're using real nice technology to solve the problems that exist now. And it's yesterday's technology. GPS has been around for several years. So it's we're not trying to look for the future and saying, this is what we'll do when we have got this amazing bit of kit in the future. It's saying, what can we do now? And we've done it. I wish we had a supermarket. We don't have a supermarket yet, but we have got the likes of Royal Bank of Scotland in Glasgow and Edinburgh, and now London and NatWest in London. We've got Scottish Parliament. We have Scottish Government. We have Dundee Council, Stirling Council. We have the Forth Valley Sensory Centre. We have the Falkirk Wheel, Doubletree Hilton, House of Fraser, Jenners. Oh, my word. There are so many. Deafblind UK in Peterborough, RNIB in Judd Street in London. And one of the beautiful things about that is that we've now got a massive following online, and people who are going out and using our application and then have started up their own Facebook group and are now talking about it without me needing to be involved at all, which is the best thing, because there are only so many hours in the day.
And what's also good when I was looking at that Welcome, Gavin, is that you, as the person with the app, can suggest places. You can say, Gavin, I go to this bank quite a lot and I have to keep explaining what I need, or that the staff aren't too sure how to help. Can you speak to them and tell them about Welcome?
Everything for me about starting this company and leaving Guide Dogs was about empowerment of the individual. This is strong words I'm going to use here. I'm kind of fed up with people getting things done for them. I don't want somebody to say, I'm going to do things to you. I want somebody to say what I want from you. So I would like Royal Bank of Scotland to install this, therefore Royal Bank of Scotland are going to install it, and then I'm going to get better service. The three people who went into Royal Bank of Scotland who used the app for the first time all changed their bank accounts from other banks because they were getting better service. But they were the ones who said, I wanted in Royal Bank of Scotland. And in fact, it was a guide dog owner in Edinburgh who said, I want Edinburgh Royal Bank of Scotland to have this. And we suggested it to RBS and they went, yes, let's do it. So now the Royal Bank of Scotland on St Andrew's Square has Welcome. The first person who walked through the door, who'd been with another bank for 25 years, changed their bank account. Royal Bank of Scotland loved that.
I'll bet they did. And you're covering so many areas on the high street with Welcome. There are other apps, but you know, Welcome is a great door opener, for want of a better phrase there. But you know, things like transport, I know you've installed Welcome in Edinburgh Airport. It's almost as if there'll come a point where I, as a guide dog owner, can step out the house and I can go to the shops, pick up what I need, and then go and catch my plane on holiday without really having to worry about, oh, is the person going to be there to help me? How am I going to explain this? Am I going to be late? So you're almost taking that away.
Yeah, all on the same app as well, Alan. I think everybody gets a little bit fed up of having 20 apps for 20 different stores. We want to put all this on one app. So Welcome by Neatbox, as an example, in Edinburgh, we've been working just recently, as you mentioned, Edinburgh Airport. They've been installed for a year now, and we're winning awards for our work with them. But we're also going to be installed with Waverley Station, and we're doing a project with First Bus in Glasgow right now. Now, these are early stage projects, but that's buses, trains, airports, who knows, boats in the future, ferries maybe, something like that would be kind of cool. But yeah, we want one app so that you get off the train or get on the train in Newcastle and you're using Welcome. You get off the train, you go to the Royal Bank of Scotland at St Andrew's Square, you come out of there, you go into Jenner's House of Fraser, you get better shopping, you go into a coffee shop or Pinnies and Poppy Seeds shortbread shop on the Royal Mile, and you get better service there purely because you said at some point during the day you're going to turn up. And then your phone, with its proximity-aware technology, does the rest. And all you've had to do is say, when I arrive, I want to buy this, this, and this, and the technology takes care of the rest.
It's a simple solution, as you say, using things that are around and have been around for some time. You would think that in commercial industries anyway, that a light bulb would come on and say, we won't wait until we're asked to put this in, we should be putting this in. And that's kind of all what Global Accessibility Awareness Day is about, that single day. I know you don't like single days, but there has to be a bit of a launch pad or a bit of a nudge to remind people.
Yeah, but beautifully, Alan, in the time that I've been doing this, and I'm sure there's a few people out there that will recognize this as well, there has been so much more interest in business. If you were talking to a business several years ago, they might be thinking about online and web sales and AI and all these sorts of things. But the key words now are diversity, inclusion, access. These are key words in businesses. Yes, it's slow, it takes time. But these days are a reflection of the fact that they have an interest. They know it's important. They know that it's commercially important as well. It's not just a nice to have anymore. It's also something where they realize that if they don't do it, they're going to lose money. If they do do it, they're going to make more money and have better customers and happier customers. So they're pushing for it. And the time is right for this to happen. And the time is right for it to happen where the person has been empowered to be very integral to the relationships that they have. Ultimately, we don't want people to have things done to them. We want people to have things done for them, because they want it. And that's what this is all about.
Building that collective voice of people who, for example, use Welcome. They come together in Facebook pages and so on. That collective voice can ask commerce, if you like, for more, because we've got it, it's available, it's doable, it's not science fiction. Let's have more of it.
Well, I like to think that your radio station doesn't just have visually impaired people listening to it, but in the future, we need to make sure that the 13 million disabled people in the United Kingdom and their friends and family, and people who believe in them and want to offer them services where they can enjoy their lives as much as anybody else, in the same way as everybody else, all of those people, I don't know, 20, 30 million people who are directly connected into this area, well, that's a very powerful voice. When we do things in silos, it's reduced the amount of power we have. But this is a powerful group of people. And let's face it, every single person on this planet is going to be, to a lesser or greater extent, disabled in some way in their lives. And what we have to do is to get the message across to some of the able-bodied people, for want of a better term, we need to have to explain to them that this is you. You are this person. This is the person we want to help now. Just because you're helping somebody else doesn't mean that you aren't going to need these services one day. Bear that in mind, because a big proportion of your life is going to be wanting, needing to use these services.
And when you think about life expectancy, we're living longer. So things like sensory impairment is something which many will have to face.
I think it was 2014 or 15. There were 11 million people over 65. By 2050, there's going to be 20 million people over 65. That's a massive increase. And as you say, age and disability are directly linked. Just where I started wearing glasses myself the other day, my knees are a little bit, if I kneel down, it takes me half an hour to get back up again. So I'm heading in that direction. And everybody's going to be heading in that direction. And increasing numbers of people are going to need the services that are going to be able to help them.
We're almost out of time, Gavin, but if people would like to learn more about Neatbox, you're on Facebook and all sorts now, how do they do that?
Obviously, we've got neatbox.com, NEATEBOX.com. That's our website. But we love it when people join us on social media like Facebook. The Facebook site that was set up by Kim Kemp, who is living with muscular dystrophy, she has set up a welcome chat or welcome app chat group. Oh my God, you've never met more positive people in one room in your entire life. So yeah, please join them there. And people can write to me at hello@neatbox.com, NEATEBOX.com.
And in terms of the app, if people want to try it, it's free of charge?
Totally free. Our business model means that the business pays for it and a small monthly subscription, but the users get the whole thing for free. And we don't mine data and we don't bombard your email address. We want very basic information from you, and that information is used to help the business help you.
Gavin, pleasure speaking with you as always. We'll keep up to date on the future developments of Neatbox. But for the moment, thanks for talking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Cheers, Alan.